Sometimes I wonder why I spend the lonely night dreaming of a song, the melody.
Welcome to Subtle Beast, everybody. I am your host, Foltz, sitting here with none other than my man, Mr. Steve Apostolopoulos. Steve, how are you, brother?
Oh, man, I am doing good tonight, man. I'm happy to be in Studio 1B.
Yeah, we got to the studio extra early tonight and have been working on a lot of different things and running through a lot of different notes, and we got a lot of good things in store for you guys, not only for tonight, but we have a good plan going forward, and it is going to be a fun ride. But as we always do before we jump in and maybe start blowing minds or start blowing our own minds, we need to catch up a little bit. Steve, what's been going on in your world this past week?
Well, let me go back and think about this week here. I got to tell you, folks, the studio has a feel tonight.
It does. This studio is vibrating, and I can feel it. It's
electric. The studio has the vibration of life tonight. I am very happy to be here, and I'm very happy to be with you tonight.
Likewise. And it's you know, outside of being with my family, it's definitely my favorite place to be. I mean, it's just Creative Central, and we get to talk about some of our most funnest, if that's a word, things that we like to discuss. And even just trying to get ready for shows, we end up baffling ourselves and just having a good time. So
let me ask you this.
Sure.
The Monday, Tuesday weather. Do you remember it?
Yeah, clearly. It was amazing. My wife and I were out each. Well, my wife had the privilege of working from home all week this week because our kids needed to be run numerous different places, and I could only be stretched so thin. So she worked from home, but there were some times for like her lunch break that we were able to go out and take some walks. We took a couple mile walks. What's nice about the neighborhood we live in, it's a complete circle. And we measured it one time, and three times around is a mile. So we'll go out and take a walk. We'll do like, I don't know, 6-7 laps. And then we'll go in and, you know, carry on with our day. And then in the evening, we go out and do it again. And that's one of our favorite things to do in the summertime outside of vacationing. But Monday and Tuesday, we were able to do it. We got a really high-strung dog that likes to just run and play. So we had her out with us, got her all tired. And I'll tell you what, we're staring summer in the eye, and I love it.
Man, 86 degrees on Tuesday.
Absolutely.
And April.
Yeah, April. And, you know, we got a few short weeks and it's going to be May. I mean, I think we've hit the point of no return right now. There's not going to be, besides nighttime, any more cold weather coming our way.
You know, I was just thinking about that, and I said that this morning to my wife, because on the 14th of last month is when we got that huge snow and I got the snowblower out.
Yeah.
Here we are 30 days later, and it's 86 degrees.
I had shorts on, and I haven't had shorts on since probably the end of September, and I'm just loving it. I got to do a whole switch around of gear. I got to get the summer gear out and just get ready.
I was working out this morning, and the closet where we keep our weights also has a lot of my big time winter gear, and I looked over at the gear that I was wearing while I was snow blowing, and I thought, it's so out of place now. It doesn't even feel like that gear should be attainable.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I was doing some rearranging at my house, and I came across some of my hunting gear that I needed to put away from this season. And my wife just happened to be close to me while I was doing this. And I said, isn't it crazy that today we were outside in shorts? I said, here's my hunting gear. I said, it makes me think of the last day of rifle season when you and I were out. And it was just bone-chilling cold.
It was the most amazing amount of cold that you can describe.
Yeah, and what's crazy is when it starts getting warm out and you try and think back, you remember that it was really cold. but you can't actually feel like what it was like. And but you just know that you don't want to be back there in that situation. And
I was just saying that to a guy today. I said, what if we were looking at a case of Harvest beer? And I said, what if we were back at Harvest and about to go into the brunt of a winter? And he said, man, don't even think like that.
Nope. Nope. As a matter of fact, I had the conversation with my wife that our kids are getting older. I mean, we have a child that's going to be a senior next year. And I said, you know, when we get these kids all ready and ready to go out into the world, we're going to where it's going to be warm all the time. Because I don't know if I've ever said on the podcast or not, but I used to live in Hawaii, and I used to live in Myrtle Beach for a while, and I didn't miss winter at all. Christmas Day on the beach, New Year's Eve outside, just in shorts, and oh, I can't wait. I'm ready for the beach now.
I'm also ready for the beach. You know that we were talking about what week we were going to vacation this summer, and
right.
When you told me about your plans for Myrtle, and I had discussed going to Myrtle, and then I said, well, when are you going? And you told me what week it was, and it was the same week that I was going.
Yeah.
It gave me a special feeling, and I talked to my wife about it again, and I said, I'm really leaning towards booking for Myrtle on the week after the 4th of July. And basically what she said was, let's see how we do in Vegas this month.
Oh, it'll be fine. You guys, you'll be fine. Everything's going to go great in Vegas.
That story that you told about the guy that didn't have his mortgage money for 3 months kind of scared me.
Yeah, I mean... But you guys, I mean, you're going out there to celebrate your anniversary. I can see, you know, doing a little gambling here and there, but I think that there's going to be a lot more things that you can do together and having fun. You're not going to bust the bank, and we'll see you in Myrtle right around the same time. I'm sure of it.
Honestly, I'm leaning that way right now, and I don't think that we're going to break the bank in Vegas. I think we're going to do a lot of bonding stuff. We've kind of discussed what we're going to do, and the things that I want to do and the things that she wants to do are different, but there's so much to do in Vegas that there are things that we want to do together. So I think that's what we're going to focus on.
I've been to Vegas with my wife, and the only money that went into the hotels was the money that we paid for our room. We did zero gambling when we were there. There's just so much to do that gambling, honestly, was the last thing on our mind. So
we're flying out on the red eye on a Thursday evening, and we had booked the room up until Wednesday night, check out Thursday morning. And the more we talked about it, the more I realized that we need the room until Friday, because we're going to have a stretch of like 11 hours where we're going to be homeless in Vegas.
If I can give you any type of advice, stay or keep your room until Friday, because I was in that situation in Vegas. I went out to Vegas with a buddy of mine. I got into Vegas only a few hours before he did, which is fine because I had access to the hotel room and I was right beside Margaritaville and everything was just fantastic.
Sounds good, yeah.
But after, I think we were there for like 3 days, and the day he left, his flight left at noon. My flight left at midnight, and we had to check out of the hotel. I think it was late checkout for where we were staying was like noon. So, you know, he left at like 11 a.m. We said, see you later. He went home, and then, I mean, luckily the hotel like held onto my bags behind the check-in desk. But I just had to walk around Vegas until like 11 p.m. when I headed to the airport. I was absolutely miserable. I had blisters on my feet. I mean, you try and do things that you think would occupy you. Hey, let me go into this brewery. And just like, I'm sitting here by myself right now. It's not fun.
I couldn't imagine it. And that's why I went back online and I booked the room for an extra night. And I did it from a different website. So there is a chance that we could have our stay, and then on that last day, somehow get booted from our room and then go into a different room because it's a different reservation.
I've been to Vegas probably more times than I think I can count. And one time we did go out there and we had a reservation in this hotel. And on the our third day, I think we were there for like 5 days. And on the third day, we're sitting in the hotel room getting ready for the day. It was late afternoon. And we get a call from the front desk and they're like, well, when are you checking out? And we're like, well, we're not until Friday. And they're like, no, sir, your reservation was only good until today, Wednesday.
Oh, my God.
And I said, well, just extend it. And they were like, well, the hotel's booked now, so your room's gone and people are going to be in there soon. We need you to get you out. It actually turned out to be not a problem at all. I mean, Vegas is humongous. So we had a rental car. We jumped in that, and within 20 minutes, we were in a new hotel. But at first, I mean, I was ready to raise Cain. I was like, well, hold on a second. It reminded me of a Seinfeld episode where it's like, you know how to take the reservation. you just don't know how to hold the reservation. Right. And that's the most important part of the reservation is the holding. Anyone can take them.
Yeah, this trip is going to be stellar. I can't wait for it, and I hope that they're known as a service industry. So I hope that when we get there, they say, "Hey, we noticed that there's a reservation, and we can just continue your room. No big deal."
Right. So yeah, I'll be excited to hear about the trip. I'm sure our listeners will be excited to hear about the trip when you get back. So when we got to the studio tonight, and we had a multitude of different ideas of things we wanted to discuss, the topic that we ended up deciding to go with is a really interesting one, and I'm sure that you agree, because we've just been like two kids in here getting ready to get this information out. You want to reveal what we're gonna try and describe tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. We knocked around quite a few topics.
Did.
And then as the night progressed and as our pre-show meeting progressed, what we found was that our all of our research has kind of pointed us in one way. We've done a bunch of shows, and thank you to our audience for sticking with us through shows like time travel and shows of that nature. What interests Matt and I right now is if we are living in a computer simulation.
Right. And I mean, that's just one of the things that grabs our interest. We're really involved and really excited about the unknown and things of that nature. And we find ourselves when we're not in the studio always talking about different topics and sharing videos with each other. And so we've decided that some of our favorite topics we're just gonna start putting into our podcasts. And recently coming across a lot of good information on, are we really living our own lives, or are we, for the lack of a better description, are we almost on the same wavelength as a video game? Are we not in control of our own lives?
Right. There was a term that we came across as a base biology. Are we living a base biology life? Are we living a life that was created through a completely organic sense, or is there something more?
Right. And when you throw out a statement like that, do you believe we're living in a simulated reality? A lot of people right off the bat are going to start picturing the Matrix in their head. And great films. I loved them. And when you see them, and if you mention this topic, people are going to be like, well, that's Hollywood. That was based greatly on someone with a great imagination. But if you think about some really successful, really credible people that have looked into this, they actually believe it. I think we might have mentioned on another podcast that Mr. Elon Musk has publicly made the statement on numerous occasions that he believes that there's a 1 in 1 billion, billion with a B, chance that we're not living in a simulation of some sort. Now, he breaks it down into a lot of different categories or what they may be, but he is solely convinced and cannot be convinced otherwise that we're living in a simulation.
And basically what he's saying is the chances are so slim because all of his research, and this is a man who has done a massive amount of research that is based solely on mathematics, to be able to launch a space travel company. And I know I talk about Elon Musk a lot, and I do have a tremendous amount of respect for the man. But he's saying that you can trace back to the core, the very core of humanity, mathematics.
Yep, exactly. Now, he will almost in a certain way maybe give you a couple different options you could go with, I guess, with this theory, all leading back to simulation, of course. He's stated that one way is that we are a simulated version or the imagination of a super evolved race in our universe that has basically maxed out on their technology. They can't go any further. So what they've decided to do was to entertain themselves by actually creating a life that they can just like watch, like either like a TV or play like a video game and control. And then he'll go on to say, okay, well, if you don't buy that, then he'll give you another thing to think about. He'll say, okay, well, perhaps then the simulation that we're living is a simulation that was programmed by our own future selves, maybe 10,000 years in the future. Where going hand in hand with his other explanation of maxing out on technology, maybe it wasn't some other race. Maybe it's us in the future. We've maxed out on our technology. So now we want to entertain our own selves by creating a world of complete simulation. And he says he's not sure, and a lot of other physicists aren't sure if they want to go with that route. And the only reason they say that is because they feel that as humans, as we've evolved, of course, everyone's known that with being human, there comes suffering and there comes pain. And when we get to a level where we can't go any more technologically, do we really want to create people or a simulation that actually believe they're alive, put them through all kinds of hurt and trauma and sorrow? But he doesn't rule out that that's a possibility.
And you can see it happening if you've traveled and you go out west and you go to a Wild West show. It's actors or robots that are portraying what it would be like in the not so distant history of our race, and it's entertaining to us. So why wouldn't it be entertaining to a super evolved? I mean, 10,000 years from now, where technology, I mean, if you look at technology and what we've done since, I don't know, World War II?
Or even in the last 40 years.
Right. Then, I mean, we've taken a small opinion or a small view of what it is that is out there, and we've changed it into a very large. Our computing power is so amazing right now that we can create lifelike robotics.
Right. And going hand in hand with robotics and a lot of the other technology that we have out there, Elon Musk had a great way of breaking it down. He said, look how far we've come in just 40 years. He said 40 years ago, if you wanted to play a video game, you had Pong, two bars that went up and down, basically playing tennis with each other. And now we have virtual reality. I mean, my kids have games that when I've watched them, or when I've walked into the room and watched them playing them, I thought that they were watching watching a movie, or they were watching some clip on YouTube. And then I see the controller in their hand, and I'm just like, we've come a long way from Mario jumping up and getting a mushroom, that's for sure.
Yeah, you look at the sports simulation, and the game on Sunday looks very much like the game that you're playing with your controller.
Yeah, and not only that, not only does it look like it and everything of that nature, what's crazy is my son plays a football game, Madden 16 or 17 he has, but being the fact that you can play on the internet with other players, the game constantly updates with information. I was in the next room when he was playing one day, and I'm a big Cowboys fan, and it was the week after Zeke Elliott scored a touchdown, and he ran and he jumped into the bucket for the Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Well, I was standing in the kitchen. My son was playing the game, and I heard them make that reference on that game. And I was like, well, I said, I thought you were playing Madden. He said, I am. I said, well, they just mentioned Zeke jumping into the barrel. He said, yeah, well, the game updates every week, so the commentators are going to make references to things that went on this week. The six-year-old version of myself was just flabbergasted at that type of technology. Because, I mean, the games we used to play, you'd play, and then when you were dead, and that was it. And the levels, they didn't change in any way. It didn't get harder.
Made the same music. It was...
Yep, and then after you beat the game, that was it. Well, now, you're playing on the internet, and they have things called the DLCs, and every time a new DLC comes out, the game's completely different, and it just goes on forever. Let me reel this back in a little bit. So basically, that's where we've come in 40 years. So if you're skeptical when you hear that there's a chance that our lives are in a simulation, we'll take the technology from 40 years and take it 10,000 years from now. We can't even grasp what things are going to be.
No, and the only way that you can is to break it down.
Right.
And the only way to do that is through mathematics.
Right. Mathematics is the universal language. I mean, I've heard scientists at NASA basically say, when we make first contact, which, of course, if you've been listening to the podcast, I believe that's already been done, but that's neither here or there for this podcast. They say, when we make first contact, are we going to hold up signs saying, hi, I'm George, what's your name? Are we going to be pointing to ourselves? Are we going to be using sign language? No. Mathematics is how we're going to try and commute, or not commute, they've already commuted here, is how we're going to try and communicate with this advanced civilization, because mathematics is the one thing that they will understand.
And it goes in so many different directions. If you look at our music in a 4/4 bar, all of that comes down to mathematics. Rather than language, if we would play them a song, they would feel more of that, or be able to understand more of that than they would if we would actually use Spanish or Portuguese or English.
Well, we did do that on one of the satellites that we had sent out to do a lot of research for us, but after it was completed, it's just going out into interstellar space, and there's recordings on there of music such as Mozart, and they have recordings of our mathematics, and they have recordings of sign language and all types and all the languages saying we are from the planet Earth and we are a peaceful people. I don't know if they're going to buy that when they come here, but that's neither here or there either. But encoded in the message as well, more than anything, it comes down to mathematics and physics and quantum physics.
Honestly, what kills me about math is that, you know, it's been around since the ages, and yet we are still learning more about mathematics every day.
Yeah, because if you go with, if you think about just like school in general, I mean, school was created by the Greeks, and a lot of different courses that you take and you learn about were created by somebody. But mathematics hasn't been created by anybody. Mathematics just is.
It's black and white. There's no...
It's pure.
Yeah, there is no gray area in it. It is what it is, and it's just the humanity... It's our understanding of mathematics that changes.
Exactly. So, if you... our information isn't coming solely based on Elon Musk. I mean, we have a lot of other information from some other physicists and scientists. But before we get into that, let me just ask you, Steve, even with a lot of the information we've looked at and a lot of we've agreed on a lot of things, but what's your real take on it? I mean, do you think that you're really not sitting here in the studio doing this podcast right now and someone's pushing your buttons? Or
honestly, I've always looked to the skies. I believe that there is a higher power, right. And I don't want to skew the podcast. I don't want to bring my personal beliefs as far as religion goes into the podcast, but I do believe that there is a creator that has put us here, and I don't know what that is. And I don't want to...
Well, you know, I could explain it personally for me without stepping on any toes as far as religion, because if it were to be that we were living in a simulation and it was some advanced race or ourselves from the future that did this, no matter which one, okay, let's just go with some advanced race that came up with the program and the code to make us into a simulation. Well, that's all fine, but that doesn't take away from any type of religion, because some greater power made them.
Created them.
Exactly. So if we're, they say that, you know, we're created in God's image. Okay, well, if we're a simulation, then we're created in the image of these beings, advanced beings, who were made in the image of a higher power. So I don't think that it steps on any toes, per se. Because at no point does it say that no higher power exists.
Right.
Just saying that you were created by someone else that was created by a higher being.
You're just kicking it up a level.
Yeah, exactly.
So with that being said, I do think that there are some really obscure mathematics out there that explain things in the universe in a way that language cannot.
Right, and I completely agree with you. I would say that for me, science. I mean, I've always been interested in science and space and travel and the possibility of extraterrestrials and all that. So a lot of the people that I look to for my information, of course, are going to be scientists and physicists and quantum mechanics and things of that nature. And there's a lot of people that are theorizing this right now. But not only that, our government has provided grants to certain scientists right now that our government believes in it so much that they're paying these guys because they say that they can prove it. And that they will, and they said, we're just going to be looking at everyday things, and we're going to be looking for glitches. And if we can find just a simple glitch in just some simple anything or any object, they're saying if they can find a glitch in it or something that's changing, then without question, we're living in a simulation. So I like the theory. I'm not afraid of the theory. I mean, because even if we are living in a simulation, it's a darn good one, and I feel in control of myself.
Right. There's free will.
Yeah, there's still free will. I mean, if somebody's sitting up there with a controller and they're playing this game of life, I want to thank them very much, because they've got me through some great levels in my life. You know, we've slayed the dragon many a times and have come out on top. So
we've had a hell of a run.
Yeah. So I'm waiting for the proof, but I'm not afraid of the fact of whether we are. So, let's see what, you know, let's talk about some of the other, scientists out there and some of their theories.
Absolutely.
There's a physicist, a theoretical physicist who teaches at the University of Maryland. His name is Sylvester James Gates. Now, this guy is just fascinating. I mean, just he's one of those guys that you can just sit and listen to. You could have him read you the phone book. He reminds me of who's the actor I'm thinking of that's got the great voice, they say, that can narrate everything.
Oh, the guy from Shawshank Redemption.
Right. Yeah.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah. Well,
honestly, James Gates Jr., I've heard him speak, and he takes such complex theories and speaks them in such a language that you can understand it. It's fascinating.
Right. Now, he doesn't take claim for everything that he speaks about. But one of his biggest theories that he speaks of is something called the string theory, which was created by a man named Claude Shannon back in the 1940s. He's the one that created what is now called the string theory. Before we get in and we explain what the string theory is, Sylvester James Gates has basically said that everything is mathematics, and computer code is actually written into the fabric of what is our universe. And it's a very specific type of mathematics. He said the further you dig, that the mathematics is just simple ones and zeros, which is binary code. And binary code is the basis of everything.
Correct.
Everything can be translated by this string theory.
So if you take even your own body and what it is composed of, and you look at the DNA structure, and everybody's seen that little curly DNA that is a picture, and it has little things that jet off on the sides, and those things are on or off. It's a zero or a one in mathematics.
Right.
And recently, what we found out after digging into the DNA is that inside of our DNA is another strand of
hidden code.
Right. It's like another DNA strand inside of. There was some code that was not on or off, and people couldn't understand why the blanks were there. But looking into it further, none of them are actually blank. They're just submitting to the earlier code, the code that's inside of them.
Right. And as much as we know about science and the human body and DNA, scientists are still baffled by this one section of our DNA that they can't unlock for some reason. Now, granted, whatever it is, it's going to be translated into mathematics. And what they believe is that once they do crack the code, that they'll be able to say where the first human being actually came from. Now, regardless of what your beliefs are, obviously I believe in a higher power, but could it possibly been that that the same higher power that I believe in created some type of extraterrestrial race who at some point their planet was dying off, and the only way for them to survive was in some type of capsule, put some of their DNA mixed with whatever, sent it out into the galaxy, it landed on our Earth, and it started to grow from there, but they left a little something extra to be found in the future, coded deep in the DNA, to figure out where, what, why, when, and how.
Right. And it's our understanding of that mathematics that brings us to this point. So we're talking about whether or not you could be built in a simulation. And everyone's seen the picture of the mouse with the ear growing on the back of it.
Right.
We're literally growing our organs and our body parts in a lab now.
Well, look how far we've come to almost simulating ourselves with AI. I mean, the robots that we have built now. I was watching a 60-minute special. I mean, you can almost not tell the difference between... I mean, you can, but these robots that we've created are interacting with us. They are, you know, doing things for us. And the intellect and the programming that has gone into these robots is constantly learning on every level, too. They created a computer system that is now helping doctors diagnose cancer. Now, they were saying there's thousands of papers that come out on cancer every day, and all the scientists are trying to get through them as best they can. But what they do is every time that, well, this information's out on the internet, and this computer is obviously linked with some type of Wi-Fi to these computers. Well, it can read all these papers within a split second, and it is catching cancer in people so early that the survival rate is tremendous. But granted, this is a computer that's catching that, but who created this computer? We did. So as wonderful as that thing is, and as much as that computer is learning on a regular basis, who's to say that that computer doesn't think that it's self-aware and it actually is a life?
It goes back to the simple statement of, does life imitate art or does art imitate life? And you get to a point where you're talking to a robotics and it has such a good personality that you're thinking, this is a cooler person than my friends are.
Right. And Steve made a great point during our pre-show. And I don't mean to steal what he was talking about, but I'm just going to mention it just because I thought it was so great that, you know, we're almost taught as infants at an early age of 2 and 3 years old through song that we possibly could be a simulation. And Steve said through the song, row, row, row your boat. Row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 merrily. Life is but a dream.
And that rhetoric has been in poetry, in song lyrics, in novels. Is life a dream? Is this all just a dream? Is this something that we set out to in the beginning and it changes as we're going through it and the end comes so much faster than any of us can know?
Yeah. So, you know, I came across in my research something very interesting that I want to read, and it's really brief, but I want to read it, and it helps really break down string theory and a lot of the different things we're talking about as far as, are we living in a simulation? It says, there have been two great breakthroughs in the 20th century. Physics. Einstein's theory of general relativity and quantum mechanics. The problem is that the two theories don't get along. String theory is an attempt at solving that problem and creating a theory of everything. String theory asserts that the fundamental building blocks of nature are not like points, but like strings. They have length. These strings can vibrate. The different particles and forces we see in nature are just fundamental strings vibrating in a multitude of different ways. But has anyone ever seen such strings? The honest answer is no. The current estimate of the size of these strings is about 10 millimeters, far smaller than we can see today. Still, string theory is one of the only candidates that we have for theory of everything. And for many scientists, including string theorists, at Queen Mary University of London, its mathematical elegance is sufficient reason to keep pursuing it. Basically saying everything that we've been saying so far is that the string theory, broken down onto a molecular level, is mathematics, and these scientists are saying that we can break down science to binary code. So I don't know. The evidence is starting to look pretty compelling. And when you look at a diagram, the evidence is even more compelling. If you look at just simple matter, if you take matter and you break that down into a molecule, and then you take that molecule and you break it down into an atom, then that atom can be broken down. Well, it has a nucleus, a neutron, a proton, an electron. But if you split that, it's going to either split into neutron or strings. So, and regardless, whichever way you break it down, neutron or string, they both lead back to each other if you're looking at a diagram according to string theory.
So basically, either one of them can be explained by math. And if you look at the artificial intelligence that has been created already by man, we can program the most minuscule clovers in a field of grass.
Right.
So what is to say that someone of a higher power could not create the minuscule parts that are our fiber?
Right. There's a gentleman by the name of Neil deGrasse Tyson, and he goes on to say that that the likelihood, now he believes that it's a 50-50% chance that we're living in a simulation. See, and he likes the likelihood that it's that high because he notices and he notes the gap between human and chimpanzee's intelligence. And he says, despite the fact that we share more than 98% of our DNA, somewhere out there could be a being whose intelligence is that much greater than our own. We'd be drooling, blithering idiots in their presence, he said. And if that's the case, it's easy for me or for a lot of people to imagine that everything in our lives is just a creation of, you know, some other entity for their own entertainment. As, you know, maybe as sick as that is, but we put chimps in a cage and we run tests on them and we do it to all kinds of animals. Now, we're not necessarily doing it for our entertainment. We're doing it to gain knowledge. But who's to say that that's not what they're doing? Maybe they're trying to learn something and instead of use their own advanced species as the guinea pig, they don't have to use anything that's quote unquote alive. They have the technology to create it in a simulation and see whether it works for them or for not, being the fact that maybe we're 98% equivalent to them and the 2% difference, they don't feel that there's any harm in creating a simulation and testing it.
And we do have plenty of animals in artificial habitats currently where they are born in an artificial habitat. They spend their life it's a zoo, technically, you know, but it's an artificial habitat and they die in that artificial habitat.
Right. Now, I mean, and as much as there's a lot of theoretical quote unquote proof out there saying that we are in a simulation, then of course there's always room for skepticism. So not everyone on every panel agrees with the reasoning. If you find IT solutions to your problems, maybe it's just the fad of the moment, some gentleman said. Kind of like if you're a hammer, every problem looks like a nail. So that's why they've created, or that's why I believe that the government has given grants to a handful of different scientists saying, okay, well, you said that you can prove this. We're going to give you the money. We're going to back this. And, that way we can with 100%, without a doubt, we can claim that we're living in a simulation, but I don't know exactly what they're hoping to achieve. Because if these scientists say, come back and say, breaking news on Fox News, we are living in a simulation. Okay. Well, now what?
Yeah, what are you going
to
do?
Are they hoping to... Now, I did read something where they said if they can prove it, that they're going to break us out of it. Well, if we're a simulation, then where would we go?
Right. What would be the point of breaking us out of it? We would all lose the lives we know.
Yeah, I think we would have to put it to a virtual vote.
Right. And you know how that goes in America.
Yeah. So, I wouldn't want it to be an electoral college vote. I'd want it to be...
populist vote.
Well, not even that. I would want it to be a one-on-one. If they came out and said, okay, we're living in a simulation. We're going to break you out. We don't know what's going to happen. You may cease to exist, or you may go on to some type of afterlife. I'm going to be one of those people that says, I'm going to stay right here because this simulation, it's great.
But that's the great thing about free will. There are going to be an equal or greater amount of people who say, I want to know what it is to be alive. I want to know what it is to be outside of this simulation.
And that goes hand in hand with no one knows. It's the unknown. What's that great movie that you had me watch recently? And I watched it and I was blown away. It was called, I always draw blanks on movie titles for some reason.
I know them all, man. Was it Inception?
No, not Inception.
I love that one.
We'll get to Inception. It was the one where you were telling me where the scientist created, he came up and said he can prove that the afterlife is better than living.
Oh, yeah, The Discovery.
The Discovery, thank you very much. If you haven't seen that movie, it's phenomenal.
Oh, you should definitely see The Discovery. Don't ruin it.
I'm not going to ruin it, but if you see this movie, there are a lot of links between what we're discussing and what this movie is about. It's not 100%, but it goes along with what we were saying, that if you could know, what would you vote for? Would you want to be broken out of this and go to see what no one for sure knows?
Right. Is it a higher level or?
Oh, yeah. Or do you just want, are you comfortable just staying right where you are? And if you're happy, then great. But if you're not, are you curious to see what else is out there? I mean, the debate can go on forever.
And that's the great thing about the unknown. The debate could go on forever.
So why don't you give us a little bit about Inception? I know you love it.
I do.
I know you want to talk about it.
Well, it's Leonardo DiCaprio, so he's one of my top three actors. And basically what he's doing is he's using a device to go inside of a dream. And when he's inside that dream, he can implement ideas to someone else's subconscious. And they can then awake and they have a new path, so to speak. And inside that dream, there could be a second dream. And in the Inception, the very crux of the movie, there is a third level where they go deep, deep inside the subconscious mind and create an idea organically so that when the subject awakens, they feel as if they've come up with this idea on their own.
That is so mind-blowing. Now, I've only seen the movie once, and I know when I saw it, I was just like, whoa, I'm not really sure what's going on here, but just to hear that explanation makes me definitely want to go watch it again. I'm hoping that I can follow it, because I know that I was having a hard time following it just the first time I saw it. Another movie that deals with that, which I still to this day have no idea, was the movie with Tom Cruise, Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
I saw it in the movie theater, and I walked out, and I was no smarter or had no more knowledge than when I walked in.
Same with me, man. I really didn't get that one.
But supposedly, it's dealing with simulation, and are we living in a simulation? Now, the one that I can understand is The Matrix. I get that one. And if that was the case, I wouldn't want to be brought out of that matrix. It didn't look like any fun. I want to get to ride around in the Nebuchadnezzar forever.
Honestly, the very end of it, the good, which is Neo, and the bad, which is the guy that's chasing him, they unite into one, and you really don't know if it's a unity. It's a loop.
Right.
So it really, how about Total Recall? Do you remember that one?
I do. And I'm not familiar with the remake, but I'm old school, so I'm Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Do you think that somebody could implant a vacation in your mind?
I do think that. I do think that is possible. I definitely believe that that's probably more probable and easier, quote unquote, to explain than the fact that we're actually living in a simulation. But look at virtual reality. I mean, if you put virtual reality glasses on and you can be walking between the Twin Towers.
Oh, that was a great one.
For me, now I know that I wasn't doing it in real life, but that memory is stored in my brain of the fact that it was really scary looking down, walking on this tightrope
in
between
sounds.
The sounds. I could do a full 360, and that's good enough for me. I mean, I never really have to do it, but that memory is there. So who's to say that they don't have some type of technology? It's like, okay, we're going to give you an injection. You're going to go to sleep. And when you wake up, you have a week's worth of memories. I think that's very possible.
How about that one where you're looking up at the Eiffel Tower?
That one's pretty incredible, too.
I mean, it's almost like, literally, the imaging is you're there, and you're looking up at the Eiffel Tower, and it feels like you're there.
I put one on in a store one time, and it was a bunch of, I was just in the water, and you virtually put your head under the water, and there's all these sharks coming at you, and I was dodging to the left and dodging to the right. Now, again, I don't need to be thrown into a real shark tank because I felt those emotions of, oh my gosh, look at the, here it comes, and moving out of the way. So, again, look how far our technology has come that we can just put glasses on and feel that we're there, or
let me
have
ask
these
you
emotions.
This.
Sure.
Are you familiar with the Truman Show?
I am. And to him, yeah, when he finds out, his whole life was a lie.
It that one was organic. That wasn't
right.
an implementation. But the part about that was that when he finds out, his world is rocked.
Right.
So if we were to be in a simulation and we were to find out and we were to take the blue pill instead of the red pill, would it be too much? What do you know?
Yeah. I tend to think of it as if the scientists came out and they proved that we're living in a simulation and they said, we're going to break you out. And for whatever reason, I said, okay. And let's say that they broke me out and all of a sudden I feel someone like rubbing my arm or something. And I wake up and I'm like 5 years old. And my whole life that I thought was real is not. And I start going to look for the people in my simulated life that were my mom and dad. And they're completely different people. I think you would freak out.
That's the thing. It goes back to other podcasts that we've done where it's literally blown people's minds to the point where their freak out is not able to be brought back.
Right. And look in the movie The Matrix. The guy was aware, but he wanted to be put back in. He says, as he's sitting there, I know that this steak that I'm putting in my mouth isn't real, but it tastes good, and I like everything this world has to offer.
Right.
And, you know, if this is a simulation, so be it. I mean, that I'm fine with it.
Folks, I got to thank you for this one, man. We've done a ton of research on different topics over the time that we've been together. And this particular one has really just been such a joy to do with you.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I mean, these are the type of topics that I like to discuss. These are the types of things that are rattling around in my brain all the time. So if you ever meet me in person, don't dig too deep. You might fall down the rabbit hole.
Fall down the rabbit hole with Folds.
But yeah, we've had a lot of fun doing this, and this is just we're just getting started here. We have so many things planned in the future that are just going to keep knocking on the door of reality and knocking on the door of, is this possible?
This is the one that rose to the top tonight, but like I said, when we got to the studio, we literally had a handful of topics, and we really didn't know which one we were going to go with until we had a really long discussion.
It took us about two hours to pick the topic, and then two more hours to solidify our notes and get in sync with each other. So this isn't one of those things where we come in and we're like, all right, let's get going.
It was a fantastic trip. We shot a video tonight.
We did.
Everybody check that one out on Facebook.
Yeah, go out to Facebook, take a look at our new little trailer that we made for our podcast. That was a lot of fun. And of course, we're going to have a link out on Facebook to this episode. Go out and let us know what you think. You can give us something as simple as a yes or no as far as are we living in a simulation. But I'm going to say if you say no, say why you think not, maybe.
You got it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is it's a very interesting topic. Share this podcast with your family and your friends and your loved ones, and well, let's keep this conversation going. We're really excited. We can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Podbean. Hopefully in the near future, when we work out some of the bugs, we're going to have a YouTube channel so you can be looking at our mugs and listening to this at the same time.
It won't be long for YouTube, and it won't be long before subtlebeast.com launches.
Oh, yes. I forgot to mention that. So everything's in the works. I mean, we're busy. I was just in a text with Steve the other day. I was just like, I'm eating, breathing, sleeping Subtle Beast. So we're doing whatever we can to have fun, but more importantly, to share this with all of you. So we'd really appreciate it if you would share it with your friends and whatever you're listening to us on, go out there and give us a great review. It helps us so much, more than you could imagine. I had fun tonight.
A fantastic experience. Thank you.
Yeah. So until next time, I'm Foltz.
And I'm Steve.
And we'll see you next time. Take care of one another. Bye-bye.